DW.
Freshly spruced, tall buildings line this part of Tarlabasha Avenue in Istanbul. Their newly constructed facades pristine, but empty. Farther back, the buildings become older, the streets narrower, and the shop fronts shabbier. Tarlabasha, a poor mixed neighborhood with mostly minority residents, shows both the boom and the bust of Turkey's economy. Turkey has been going through an economic downturn for the past 6 months, and behind the new front-facing street block, Tarlabasha's poorer residents are feeling the crunch.
It started last year, actually, and this year it's worse. All the sellers are losing money due to a lack of business. There are sellers who call it a day and go home without making a single sale. And I'm not just talking about here, it's everywhere. For instance, many shops have closed down on İstiklal Avenue.
Aliya Goga has lived in this neighborhood for most of her life. The shop where she sells wood is across the street from her house. She recently had to put that shop up for sale because business just isn't coming.
Normally, this place would be full. They used to deliver wood in a huge truck. But now we can't afford it, and worse times are to come. We'll soon be saying we miss the good old days. And as the days go by, it just gets worse. That man, Erdogan, is making everything harder. Prices keep increasing. Price hike on top of price hike on top of price hike. They increase the price of gasoline 3 times in a month. 3 times. Good luck trying to live in Turkey.
The lira has been losing value for months, while inflation has been soaring. Basic commodities like oil, potatoes, and gasoline are becoming more expensive every day, and small shops like Aliya's are paying the price. Like many of her neighbors, she places the blame for the economic downturn squarely on the shoulders of the ruling party.
With the AKP have come really major problems. Their mentalities are so broken. They're taking from the poor and giving to the rich, to their own relatives, and to their own supporters. It's all on the backs of the poor. They'd even charge tax on a cup of water. That's the point we've gotten to. We can barely keep our heads above water. We're in a really tough situation.
Across the city, Yusuf, a real estate agent in the conservative neighborhood of Fikirtepe, sits in an office next to a construction site. He's hoping to sell properties to people who never come. His neighborhood has been transformed by the construction boom, which sought to gentrify the poor neighborhood, new condominiums and developments. But the condominiums are only half built or stand empty.
Şu an oturuyoruz. Dükkan açıyoruz, kapatıyoruz. Bundan 10 sene önce günde 20 kişi, 30 kişi, 50 kişi.
Now we are just sitting around. We open the shop and then close the shop. 10 years ago, there would be 20, 30, 50 people in a day. Last year, diesel fuel cost around 3.9 Turkish lira. Today, it's 6.50. There's been a 100% price increase. Last year, cheese was 15 lira. Now it costs up to 35. Olive oil last year was 21 lira. This year, it's 40, up 100%. But is my salary increasing by 100%? Last year, my electricity bill was 90 lira. Now it's up to 140. It's not even winter yet. It will go up even more in winter. Natural gas prices have risen, electricity prices have risen, and water prices have risen. It's not like our standards of living have increased. It's gotten worse now.
Yusuf is a conservative man who supported the ruling AKP for many years, but he turned against them as the economy got worse. He criticizes what he sees as increasing corruption in President Recep Tayyip Erdogan's government. Now he says he's so disillusioned, he won't vote for any party in the upcoming elections. Yusuf speaks openly, without any seeming fear of reprisals. But Aliya, who is Armenian, remembers the last time she spoke to journalists about the government's treatment of minorities. Police raided her house.
There's no freedom left in this country. You can't even practice your religion. People can't worship freely. They can't speak freely either. No, in this country, it's all forbidden. I'm Armenian, and they tell me to become a Turk. Do I need to? No, I'm Armenian. You can't make me change my religion.
The debate over just what it means to be Turkish is part of what divides the country. Many critics feel that Erdogan, whose party is conservative, only represents the interests of citizens who are Turkish and Muslim. It's part of what has divided the country in half. In the last presidential elections, 52% of voters chose Erdogan, while 48% chose other candidates. For the people who support Erdogan, he is more than just a good politician. He represents a vision of Turkey's future.
In Turkey, we don't have any problems. We're pleased with the government and we're pleased with our president. We don't want anyone besides Erdogan, because he's the only person that can lead us forward. For that reason, we're behind whatever he says. It was like during the coup attempt in July 2016, and after that as well.
Mehmet Akyurek runs a cosmetic shop that backs up to one of the many historical mosques in the conservative middle-class neighborhood of Fatih, an area that has consistently voted for the ruling party. Many of his products come from foreign exports, and as the lira has grown weaker, he has had to bear the cost.
The drop in the Turkish lira really affected us. We import from China, so we pay in dollars. But the price of the dollar has also increased. Erdogan does not bow to pressure. 15 years ago, they wouldn't have raised the dollar price because Turkey would follow whatever the US or European Union asked them to do. No one was there to fight for Turkey. But now, with Erdogan's presence, Turkey will not submit. That's why the dollar went up. They apply sanctions by raising the value of the dollar, thinking that it will break us. But we always say this: whoever our leader is, if something comes to the table, we'll fix it ourselves.
He says he's committed to fight for the Turkish economy by using Turkish products rather than foreign ones.
I got rid of those foreign brands. Unlike companies like L'Oreal and Schwarzkopf that have big branding and advertisements, Turkish brands don't have ads and haven't gotten as big. But they're better than L'Oreal, so we'll offer those to our customers. And we promise that if you don't like it, you'll get your money back. I offer that guarantee.
Prior to AKP coming to power, the government was still conservative, but secular. And people who were openly Muslim were often excluded from education and power. To many, AKP was the government that not only ended years of discrimination, but also improved the economy. The recent economic downturn is just a blip for Mehmet, and his faith in AKP remains unshaken.
In Turkey, there's no more poverty.
This is, of course, untrue. Poverty remains in Turkey. But Mehmet remembers that before Erdogan came to power, in the 80s and the 90s, the economy was much worse.
Before Erdogan, there was a lot of poverty. Owning a car was a luxury. Eating in a restaurant was a luxury. Even going to the hospital was a luxury. But ever since Erdogan arrived, business has increased. I'm 29 years old. I have 3 businesses. I have a house. I have 2 children. I can do whatever I like comfortably. There's freedom. There's everything.
Many have linked the current economic crisis to Turkey's spat with the U.S. over the detention of American preacher Andrew Brunson. Brunson, who was imprisoned by Turkey over suspicion of his involvement with a failed coup attempt in 2016, was only released recently after intense U.S. pressure, including economic sanctions. Selim Sazak, an economist at Brown University, is convinced that even if U.S.-Turkish relations should normalize in the wake of Brunson's release, his country's economic pain is still far from over.
This is a crisis that's been years in the making. Anyone who's thinking that this just happened overnight hasn't been paying attention to what's going on in Turkey over the last couple of years.
President Erdogan has been in power since 2003 and first presided over a period of massive growth in Turkey. But in recent years, Turkey's growth has far outstripped its ability to produce. Sazak believes that this has come hand in hand with Erdogan's growing political power.
Erdogan has developed a growth fetish, not unlike other economies like, say, China. And he started seeing democracy in general as a bit of a impediment for the Turkish economy to run as fast as he wants it to.
The growth is reflected in the construction in both Aliyah and Yusuf's neighborhoods, where the building has far outstripped demand. The growth itself was fueled in large part by cheap capital that started flowing into Turkey from the early 2000s.
Had Ankara been wiser, the cheap capital would have been used to foster innovation, improve productivity, increase competitiveness, invest in high value-added industries. This is what successful markets have done. We didn't do that. Instead, we built, there was this construction bonanza fueled by cheap credit from mostly state banks. There were these mega projects, there was massive spending, and none of that spending went to productive means. Now the music has stopped, we need to pay our loans back, and no one has the money to pay them back.
Yusuf, who has worked in the construction sector for decades, is witnessing its collapse firsthand.
They haven't even constructed the bases of the new houses. They haven't started building them yet. There's urban renewal everywhere, but this isn't the way to do things. Who's going to buy this? Can anybody afford to buy at all? Loan rates have skyrocketed.
Problems plaguing the Turkish economy do not seem to be going away anytime soon. Within the last year, Erdogan has ousted many of the leading foreign-educated economists in his cabinet, and he's repeatedly refused conventional economic wisdom that prescribes interest rate hikes to address inflation. Zazak believes that Erdogan is just trying to hold on to power until countrywide municipal elections in March 2019. Erdogan recently won the presidential elections and passed a referendum that gave him massively expanded powers. If his party wins in the municipal elections, then he will be truly cemented in office.
Because after that, even if you have a problem with Erdogan, there is no way of getting him out. There is no way of changing the government. The Turks are strapped to Erdogan's government for the next 4 years. So what's going to happen then?
Erdogan supporter Mehmet thinks he knows the answer.
In 1 or 2 years' time, Turkey's going to be even bigger. It's going to advance even further. In 2023, the 100th anniversary of the Republic, Turkey will own even more things. Even if someone tries to put sanctions on us, it won't matter, because we're going to have everything we need.
Aliyah has little use for such talk.
Now people are saying, how will I make a profit? What am I going to do to earn a living, to bring bread home? That's the kind of country we're living in now.
DW.